a reminder, we have our youth and young adults supper. I'm sure if you're involved in that, you're well aware. We sort of scrapped the youth service. We had a few things not quite work out. Thus, why we have the normal musicians, the old leader, and the old preacher. But anyway, amen. Yeah. So, turn to Colossians. I'm cheating a little bit. I know that it's nice to do one series in the morning and then a different series at night, so you get a little bit of variety. I really would like to finish Colossians by the end of the year so we can start something new next year. It's not looking good, I might say, but I thought at least if I throw in a few night ones with Colossians, we'll be getting there as well. And so we're in Colossians, and we don't get very far this evening nonetheless, but let's pray first. Lord, we do need you. We need your word to minister to us. And Lord, we do pray that as we open it this evening, that your spirit will be the one who illuminates us and guides us. And Lord, rebuke us or teach us. But Lord, I pray that it will be a fresh message from you this evening. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we've been looking in chapter 3 about practical Christian living, and that could go on to the day that we die, I suspect, in all the aspects of that. But we've been looking where it tells us things we need to put off and then replace it and put on various other things as well. And last week we saw how we're to put off anger, wrath and malice, and we were to put on bowels of mercies, forgiveness and kindness. Well, tonight we're going to look at some of the words that we may say to one another. It moves on into words in this list, but we're only going to look at one this evening. But words, as we can be assured of, is a very important part of practical Christian living. People say that the eye is the window of the soul, and that's true, but no doubt also the mouth is the door to the soul, in that what's going on inside within our soul generally comes out through the mouth. As the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 15, says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." And so what comes out of our mouth can actually defile us and our life as well. And so the mouth is the door for what's inside to escape so often. And our words to people are extremely important. And the problem is they can be very destructive, not just for our own testimony, not just for our own life, but our words have the capacity to hurt other people as well. As James puts it in his epistle, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And we do understand that concept of fire, and you have a spark, it seems so little, but it can just take off and it will just continue to grow. And if unleashed without any restraint, it can cause major problems. And there is no doubt that the tongue, as a fire, has destroyed many a Christian's lives, many a Christian's testimonies, many church fellowships as well. And so we need to be careful how we speak. Now, you know just as well as I do that that's easier said than done, isn't it? We can say we need to watch what we say. It's much harder to do it. And that is why James says in his epistle as well, we can tame all different types of beasts. And we can go off to the circus and be amazed at how you can get an elephant to do certain things and a tiger and a lion and even a serpent. And you can get birds to do amazing things. And James says that, yet we can't tame our tongue. That's one thing that we certainly struggle with. And that's why he said that the perfect man The mature man, which is what he's meaning there, is one who doesn't offend in word. Now, I'm quite willing to just put it out there now. It's obvious that I am not a complete and mature man yet, because I still offend in word. And we all have a lot of maturity to take place there if that is the case. But we need to be careful. There's another saying, loose lips sink ships. Yet, I think more loose lips have sunk far more churches than any ships. And here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, we read this. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice. Then it goes on to look at blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And so there are three things here in regards to our words that are highlighted. Blasphemy, filthy communication, and lying one to another. And tonight we're just going to concentrate on blasphemy. Now, when we think of blasphemy, we often think of using the Lord's name in vain. That's blasphemous. Or someone trying to paint themselves as God, how Jesus was accused of blasphemy, making himself equal with God and so on. But and when we think of the word blasphemy, that's what we often think of, doing something against God's name. Yet the word in God's word isn't limited to just referring to things against God. The Greek word blasphemy means to speak evil, where we would also consider the word slander. And the best way to picture this is, if you are on church cleaning particularly, you might spend time cleaning the front doors, glass doors out there, and you get it ever so nice. I don't spend that much time making sure they're perfect myself, but you might be one of these obsessive, compulsive people that have to have it spot on. And so you look at those glass and it's spotless. Yet you come here and within 10 minutes, the kids have smeared hand prints all over it. And so you had this beautiful clear glass and now it's smudged and smeared everywhere with fingerprints. And that's the idea of this word. It is to smear like a glass in that regard. And so that's what the word blasphemy is talking about, and that can be applied to how we speak to others. We smear their character like a glass. Let's have a look at a couple of verses where we see it translated different ways. In Romans 3:7, if you want to turn over there. Here the Apostle Paul is talking, and it says in Romans chapter 3, verse 7, for if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? Verse 8, and not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. Now, I'm not going to talk about the context here and what he's talking about, but Paul uses this same Greek word, and it's translated slanderously reported. And so Paul was slanderously reported of. People were smearing his name and his testimony. They were blaspheming the name of Paul in that regard. Another verse where it's translated differently is 1 Corinthians 10:30. For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of? For which I give thanks. And so here, Paul, it's translated that he was evil spoken of. And so This word is used not just in reference to God in blaspheming, but in our speech towards others as well. And so this is the commandment here. Our speech mustn't be marred with insults or slanderous remarks where we will smear a person's testimony or character. Now, how are you going with that? In Titus, it says, chapter 3, verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man. Same word, blasphemeo is the Greek word, to speak evil of no man. And so that's what God tells us. Now, with that, I do think when we consider what it's teaching us here, there needs to be a little bit of balance as well. And that's one of the hard things when you are a preacher. You might look at one thing and you preach about that and you forget to give the balanced view, and then some people think, wow, he's really out of balance with that, you know, because there is generally a balance. Because there are times when we have to speak, and there is no doubt that speaking the truth will paint someone in a light that may not be the most exciting for them. For example, just say someone came into our church and began to promote immoral relationships in any form and saying there is nothing wrong with it. You know, how do we deal with that? Do we say nothing? Now, you obviously go privately, but if they start to promote it, do you have to address that publicly? You know, what if someone began to teach that we need to be baptized and do good works to be saved? Do you allow them free rein because you don't want to slander their name or say anything that would put them in a negative light? How do you respond to that? Maybe something even a little bit more down to home. What if your daughter started being interested in a young man who you knew wasn't living a life that was right, you know, living in sin? Would you be right to say, hey, this is not a good idea, this young man is not right, and tell them the reasons why? Yes, it does smear their character in the sense, but should you say something or should you just stay quiet? Where is the balance there? Well, we need to understand that God does give us permission to speak the truth in love when it's needed. Oftentimes it's in private, but sometimes when needed, it has to be public as well. You know, in Romans 16, it says in verse 17, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offences contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And so Paul says there are times when we need to mark people that cause division, who offend the doctrine, that are wanting to deceive the simple. Now, how do you mark them? Well, I guess you can sneak up behind them, put a red dot on them, and then just tell everyone, just avoid anyone with a red dot, right? Or you actually have to say, this person is teaching the wrong thing, this is why it's wrong, and we need to avoid that. This person is doing the wrong thing, we need to avoid that, and so on. We do know that Solomon gave advice to his son, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And he explained what a sinner was, and then he encouraged his son not to follow those ways. We know that John didn't have a problem naming names as well when it was needed. In 3 John, it says in chapter 1, verse 9, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Whereof, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. And so he mentions the man that was causing problems there. And so John had no problem marking a person who was causing strife and so on. And so there needs to be a balance. But having said that, if we were to be honest with ourselves, when we're looking at showing the love of Christ to one another, making sure that we care for one another in a manner that pleases our Saviour, to act how Jesus would act, we would have to say that 99% of the times when we do say something negative or unkind or slanderous, it has nothing to do with preserving the doctrine of God, has nothing to do with protecting people from sin and sinners, or warning others of potential dangers, and it mostly has to do with our own flesh out of control. That's the reality. And Paul tells us to put this off. Yet sadly, many Christians, they are very slow to speak up when something needs to be said about false doctrine and wickedness, but they have no problem blaspheming or slandering their brothers and sisters in the Lord. And if we were under the days of Ananias and Sapphira in those days, and this was a particular sin that God decided tonight to hail down fire and bring judgment upon each one of us who have sinned in this way, in this year at least, we'd be all dead. I'm quite certain of that. Maybe a couple might get through. But we all have that tendency where we focus on the bad points rather than the blessings of a person. Where we're quick to bring out a person's, or not so much bring out, but bring into question a person's character. Bring into question a person's motives for why they're doing that. Where someone may be legitimately talking about someone in a positive light, and their character and their motives are like that lovely clean window, and it's beautiful and bright, and the Son of God is shining through, so to speak, and then we take the opportunity to run our fingers and smear it. So, do you know? Or have you heard? Or I don't know. And we will blaspheme their name. Well, that's a sign that we don't love the person. It's a sign that we need to grow in our love for Christ as well. Jesus said, if you love me, you won't do these things. You'll keep my commandments. If we can't love each other, it's a sign that we aren't loving the Lord the way that we ought to. Can I encourage you, as I encourage myself, that we're happy for the things that we say about one another to be repeated because they're good things. You don't have to be scared if someone repeats what you said about them, if it's a positive thing. But you may get worried if people repeat things that were negative that you said. Imagine a church where all who attend only spoke well of each other, where the irritating things of each other aren't spoken about and they're overlooked, where we encourage each other, where we praise the Lord for each other and we point out the good points, where a church where there is a difference between two, well, then it's dealt with privately and no one else will even know about it because you haven't gone around told everyone else first how you're disappointed with that particular person, but you've just dealt with it privately. Well, brethren, no point leaving this church to find one like it, because we're all the same. No point just wishing it. We can have it if we would be willing to do what God says. And where it starts is with yourself.
starts with me, and it starts with you, where you have that commitment that I will not blaspheme the name, not just of my God, but of my brothers and sisters in the Lord. And then there is the help that we can give one another when we do tend to slip into that negative talk to pull up before we go too far. Because, let's be honest, we all need help in this area. It is not our default setting for most to just think of the positives of everyone. I have met a few people like that. They are an immense encouragement where all they can see is good. They are the sweetest, softest, most loving, spirited people, yet they don't go without their own problems. They can be a little gullible as well. They may be a little bit used by people because they just think everything is fairyland and everything's beautiful. But I'd rather live in that fairyland than the other land. But most people aren't like that. We have a default setting to criticize, to find that one spot in a person's character and highlight it that might be negative, that one piece of effort that someone might have put into something that wasn't what maybe it should have been and highlight that. That one piece in their ministry that maybe they're lacking and highlight that as well. Where people want to maybe give thanks for a person, but we want to take those fingers and smear their name. It takes maturity to change in this area. That's why James said, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body." You see, maturity in the Lord is really found, we see here, in our words, because it's the hardest piece to harness. It's that unruly fire that we need to be really versed and equipped in the things of God and have the Spirit of God working in us to be able to have that. We can think of things that we have done in the past that we don't know now and see, yes, I've grown. We can see the world and see the wickedness of the world and say, wow, I'm very different to the world. God has been changing me. We can see so many differences, but let's not stop the sanctifying work of Christ too early and think we're mature until we've actually mastered the hardest beast of all, and that is our tongue, that we're told in the Word of God. And so, as just a simple reminder in this area of our speech, let's make sure we don't smear the name, the testimony, the work of each other, of the pastor, of the deacons, those who minister, of the mums, the dads, the children. Let's praise God for what we have and who we have. And yes, there may be times when something needs to be said. Most of the time it's in person, in private. But what a lovely place this could be and would be if we could come here knowing that we have a heart to want to encourage and bless each other rather than blaspheme. So there, I'll leave with Proverbs 12:18. It says, "There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." So what's your tongue like? Does people feel like they've been pierced through with a sword after you've spoken about them? Or do they feel refreshed and encouraged? Is your words one that brings health or death? Oh, God wants us to put off all blasphemy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that despite knowing how sinful we are, yet you love us. and you encourage us, you're faithful to us, and you're ever so patient and merciful. Lord, we don't deserve that, but Lord, you do it nonetheless. I pray that we will reflect the love of Christ in each other, towards each other, and we would give each other that same type of mercy, patience and long-suffering and blessing as you bestow upon each one of us. And I pray that others will know that we are truly your disciples by the way that we love each other in word as well as deed. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.